The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Within the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, there's always this emphasis on trying to up our game, trying to work harder, trying to like do with whatever resources we have, trying to do better with them. I'm reminded of this one story we have from our fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. One time he was, you know, engaged in deep worship of Allah Ta'ala, sujood, Quran, dua. And after he had become tired, right, physically tired, he went and he opened some type of container he had in which he was storing those things which were precious to him. And in that there was a document, and he began to read this document. The hadith says that this document was a description of the ibadah of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And when Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is reading this, afterwards he makes this comment that he sighs and he says that who is it that can have the worship of Amirul Mu'mineen? Here is Sayyidul Sajideen, the one who will be identified on the Day of Judgment according to hadith as Zainul Abideen. And here he's saying that who can have the worship of Amirul Mu'mineen? What is the point here that even for someone like Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he's always saying that, okay, this is where I am. How can I go to the next level? That one of the teachings we have from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is regarding the concept of hope when it comes to our actions. Hope is something which is very important. And without hope, right, everything, all of our efforts would fail. Right? And it's been identified for us. Our Prophet has a hadith reported for him. He says that if it hadn't been for hope, then nobody who plants seeds would even plant that seed. No mother would tend to her child, because a lot of what we do is depending on the system to take care of things for us. Right? Imagine those 9 months that a mother spends waiting for the delivery of her child, the mother and father. Right? They don't know what's happening inside. Maybe once in a while they get like a black and white picture of I don't know what, and it kind of may say something to the doctor. But for the most part, it's trusting in the system, right? There's something else going on here. There's someone else who's doing what he has to do here. And that's how it continues for the rest of our lives. Much of what we do is outside of our own control, including whatever it has to do with our own bodies. But brothers and sisters, there's a time when our reliance on the system can be something that blinds us, where we become content with a certain way of doing things and we forget about those laws which are in place. And that is something which is called tulul amal. When somebody has so much hope that hope becomes a means of deception. I'm going to talk about how that affects us practically. But first, I want to share with you a story from the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was one of his dear companions, somebody who was close to him, who one time news comes to the Prophet that he had made a significant purchase. It's a very ordinary day-to-day matter here, right? We can relate to this practically. He had made a purchase, but he had made a promise that he was going to pay for this purchase at a later date. And when the Prophet heard that, he was actually disappointed with him. And he made a comment. He said that person is tawilul amal. His hope is something which has gotten the better of him. Now, I want to make a comment here that, you know, oftentimes we do things like we take loans, right? We maybe, let's say, buy a home, right? And a lot of it's based on, like, what's going to happen in the future. And that's pretty much the system that we live in here. Nobody buys things just with cash, right? So we need to understand what is it that the Prophet was trying to say. And it's very important that we think about this and ponder upon it. The Prophet goes on to explain. He says that when it comes to myself, the Prophet says, I do not have any guarantee that when I close my eyes for a blink of an eye, that I'm going to open them up again. And that when I put some food in my mouth, that it's going to find its way into my digestive system. Even to that extent, I don't give myself a guarantee. And then he addresses those who are gathered there at that time, and he says that you should imagine yourselves among the mota, meaning that imagine yourself as if that you are basically gone from here, and then plan accordingly. Now, there's a wrong way of understanding this, which is that somebody, let's say, is, you know, has one foot in the grave, right? They're always thinking that, okay, you know, I have to be morbid and, you know, I can't do anything planning for the future. That's not right. But what the Prophet is saying is that sometimes it can be the case that somebody becomes deceived. They're being careless. And that's what was the case when he came to the companion. Maybe he wasn't in the financial position to be able to pay it at that date. He was being almost like a type of gamble. He was being careless. Not that what he did was haram. He probably went through it with all the legal provisions, but he was being careless. Why? Because he wasn't looking at, you know, his financial situation. He wasn't looking at the fact that, well, time is passing. What happens if he's not, if let's say something were to happen to him, who's going to pay off that loan at that time? So on a practical level, when we're trying to, you know, make our actions more pure, trying to make decisions, trying to plan, one of the things that we can consider is that sometimes we're deceived by this sort of illusion that as if we're here forever, as if we have endless number of days to do what we need to do. And this can sometimes cause huge problems. I'll give you a very practical example. We see that overall in the society we're in, people are getting married later and later. They want to finish their education, not just that. Then they want to find a career, not just that. They want to become established in their career, sometimes not just that. They have certain career aspirations. And then only when they get to that aspiration, then they say, okay, I've done that, right? I've given all of it, and now I can start thinking about, you know, the family thing. And sometimes it can be like 40 years old or even beyond that. And that's something which we see the same trend being reflected among Muslims as well, right? In our community as well, that the age continues to go up and up. Now, the teachings of our faith say that what? That, you know, that which is sweetest is that when it's done, it's taken at the ripest time. When you have that type of vitality, when you have that energy, this is the time to be thinking about family building. When you can run around with your children, when you can be there with them, when you can resonate with what they're going through, this is the optimal time. Yes, if we want to ignore reality, we might say, no, I have plenty of time in the future. We'll look at it from a medical perspective, right? What are the experts say in medicine, that the longer you delay, then there's a lot of complications and risks that can occur as well. Sometimes it comes up with our health, right? That we think that, okay, well, I might be enjoying good health right now, and so I don't need to take care of myself, right? I can just sort of, you know, slip away from those type of good habits, right? What happens is that that's being deceived by this hope that I have in something which is a falsehood. We know that what we do to our bodies, eventually we'll see the reaction of that. It might not come in our younger years, but it can be seen at later years. That type of lifestyle where I'll ignore my basic needs, you know, to achieve this sort of like thing, I need to burn my way through success as the way they define it to me, sometimes it can cause huge problems later on in my life. All of these would be classified as this concept of tulul amal. I've been deceived by that. The hope God gave me was there to encourage me to work hard, but within certain boundaries, while I keep in mind reality. A reality is that our death has been written for us. We have a maximum time period, which the Quran tells us, ajalun musamma. There is a time where all of us will die. Yes, it may be the case that certain acts that we do may give us more life, or certain acts we do that might actually subtract from our lives. But there is a maximum time in which after that, there's no more living. Same thing with aging. وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ Allah says in the Quran very clearly, whoever we give life to, we take away from their physical creation. And these are realities that we need to come to terms with.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. this program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.